The greatest example of love the world has ever known is that he gave his life for us. Thank you, ministers of music, for reminding us of that beautiful, beautiful truth. We are blessed today to have a very dear brother in the Lord, effective communicator, effective pastor. Had to retire a little early from pastoring, but he's not retired from ministry and sharing about Jesus. And this morning, we welcome Mark back. Pastor Mark, come if you would. Would you again just give him a good welcome as he comes to share what God's laid on his heart?
Some of you sit in the same place. I used to take attendance by where everybody was. I sent somebody a card one week and said, I missed you in church. And they were here. They just sat somewhere different. It messed me up. And I remember one Sunday, I was having everybody to move around and greet each other. And I said, hey, let's move around and shake hands. And when you do, take your stuff and go sit somewhere else. And somebody picked up their stuff and just walked out the door. They didn't want to sit somewhere else. They came back the next week, but they didn't want to sit somewhere else that Sunday. But it's so good to be with you. I want to thank you so much for your kindness to us during some very difficult days. And you've blessed us with gifts. You've blessed us with your prayers. And we say thank you from the bottom of our heart. Today, I just want to kind of share with you our journey. We've kind of been back a couple of times, but not really to be back in this kind of setting. And I want to just kind of share our journey, but in doing so today, I want to say, first of all, we all go through stuff. Every one of us do. We deal with things, and sometimes life gets very tough. We don't ask for it. We don't plan for it. We don't anticipate it. But life gets real. And we go through things that we don't sometimes understand. But I was reminded of a scripture in Isaiah chapter 43. In verse 2 of Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through, don't you love technology? The light goes out just as I'm reading. There we go. Got it back. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I'm living example of that today. And I say thank God for his faithfulness. In May of 2010, we were pastoring in Ohio. It was a Sunday morning. And I'd kind of felt a little weird all week. And some of you think that should be normal, But I'd felt a little weird all week and just kind of put it out of my mind and kept going. And it was during a time that the economy had pretty well tanked. The town where we lived in Ohio had a General Motors plant, and it had closed, and as a result, 4,000 people in that town had lost their job, which impacted the church tremendously. A National Cash Register was founded in Dayton, Ohio, and had been there for over 100 years, and they relocated, and over 2,000 people either had to move or lost their job, and that impacted the church. I had a staff of about 7 full-time associates, and I was having to have meetings with them and say, I've got to cut your salary, and they've got little children, and that just kept piling on, and I took it. I cut my own salary more than I cut theirs, But that didn't make it any easier because they had little kids at home. And I was carrying that, and I was having a hard time turning it loose and letting God carry it. And on Sunday morning, it just so happened that my youth pastor was preaching that Sunday because we were honoring our graduating seniors. And I'm sitting there, and I'm realizing something is wrong. And I started rubbing my left hand, and I didn't feel anything. And at the close of service, the youth pastor said, "Pastor Mark, would you come and pray over the graduates?" And so I went to stand up, and when I did, my left side buckled. And I realized that I had nothing on the whole left side. I kind of got my composure and caught myself and kind of drug myself to the front without hoping nobody noticed. We had two services. This was the first service. And my college and career pastor walked up to me as I was praying and just put his shoulder right against my left shoulder because he realized I was leaning. And he just stood there. I'm praying. He didn't say a word. He just leaned up against me. And as soon as I said amen, he whispered in my ear and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No." I said, "But help me get to the door and shake hands with some folks so it doesn't scare anybody, and then take me to the emergency room." They determined that I'd had a stroke. They didn't know if it was exactly that day or if it had kind of been building, and so they weren't able to give that shot that they give immediately for strokes. And so after a couple of weeks, I was able to get back in the pulpit and keep preaching, but my doctor said, "You've got to get to a smaller church. You can't handle this. You can't. Your body is not going to stand up to this." I had said that I had no desire to ever pastor back in the state of Alabama. But God has a sense of humor. Even though Alabama's home, it's where I grew up. And to show just how good God is and how what a sense of humor he has, I'm actually living in the house where I grew up. So that kind of goes a step further. And so we took a smaller church, moved back to Alabama, pastored for a while, and I was also took a job. Yeah, this is really slowing down. I'm pastoring a church, and then I take a full-time job working for my uncle, which had been my dad and my uncle's business. And when my dad retired, my uncle took it over. And so I was working there. And I was probably in the best physical condition at that point that maybe I'd been in many, many years. And it was on a Monday. I was at work, sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden, I realized my left side was gone again. And so I drove myself 30 miles to the hospital, which I don't recommend. Men, if you need hospital, either let somebody drive you or call for an ambulance. Don't drive yourself 30 miles, because I was beginning to wonder if I was going to make it. Got there, they determined. Eventually, I spent 3 weeks in the hospital. They determined I had a couple of more strokes, and so that started a whole new chapter in my life. I tried to keep pastoring for a little while and finally realized that I just couldn't. But in the meantime, after all of that, I was left with this incredible burning. Basically, for the lack of a better word, it feels like a torch on the side of my face constantly. It never goes away. It never stops. There's times that it's worse, okay? But it never quits. It's burning right now. I've been left with some balance issues. My doctor says walk with a cane all the time. I don't like that. My doctor says don't let pride get in the way. I better back away from the edge of that stage there before I fall. By the way, when we put this in, I asked for somebody to put that rail right there so I would know when I got to the front of the platform. That was my signal, but I better not try that today. Again, I did it that time, but I better not try it again. So all of that has just kind of been developing. And so for the last 2.5 years, almost 2 years, we were left with no income. And at that point, nowhere to live. And that's when my mom and dad bought another house, and they moved in to a smaller place and said, here, just come live in our old house. It was during that time that at Christmas, I got a card in the mail from Somerville Church of the Nazarene with a nice gift. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And month after month, God somehow managed to take care of us. We never went hungry, as you can tell by looking at me. I survived. I'm swollen from malnutrition, I guess, but otherwise, I think I've fared pretty well. It was a few times it was rice and pork and beans, but I like rice and pork and beans, so that's not a bad thing. And a few times we were able to put a hot dog chopped up in there, so, you know, it never really got to that point. Thank God. God was faithful. And then a couple of months ago, finally, after 2.5 years of applying and appealing and arguing and got approved for Social Security disability, and we say thank God. I never thought at 56 that I would be disabled and retired. That wasn't my plan. I should still be going strong. But God had a different idea. And for whatever reason, this is where we are now. But I have found God to be faithful. I have found him to be more sufficient than I ever imagined. Because all of a sudden, we found ourselves in a place where we had never been. And I had talked to other people who had been there, and I had tried to say, oh, God's faithful, and God will take care of you, and I preached it, but for the first time, I had to live it. And it was like, whoa, this is real. And I found God to be absolutely faithful. Something that I never thought I would be able to do. I figured out a way to let stress go. You know how you do that? You just do it. I just decided I wasn't going to worry about it. I couldn't, first of all. I just wasn't physically capable. So I let Rachel worry. She was always the one that never worried, and I worried. And now we're reversed. Now she worries and I don't, because I just had to let it go. I just said, you know, I can't do it. And so bills would come. We'd get medical bills. We'd get stuff in, and I'd go, okay, there's a bill. Put it on the stack. And God took care of every single thing. And we never understood quite how it worked, but I'm always amazed at God's math. God can take our little and do much if we put it in his hands. And we trust him. And I remember when we were going through the journey of building this building, we had little. Some of you know, you were here. You walked right through that journey, and you know what it was, and you know what it took, and you know the hours and the work and everything else, and somehow it all came together. And in our life, and in your life, and in my life, God's going to walk with us through everything that happens. It doesn't make a difference what it is. And we will not be overcome by it because of God living in us. So my story today is really not about me. It's not about Rachel. It's not about us. Our story today is about the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Amen. Now, last week, I had to go back to another doctor because my neurologist wanted me to go for a test. And he said, but before you have this test, I've got to send you to a cardiologist to make sure your heart is strong enough for this other test. And so I went for the to the cardiologist, and she checked me over, and I mean spent, I don't know, probably an hour doing an exam, and then said, we need to do some more tests. And I said, yippee, more tests. I've seen the inside of more CT machines and MRI machines. It's just been crazy. I've become personally acquainted with a number of them. I think my initials are on some. I don't know. And I got the call on Thursday that the test that they just did found some damage in my heart. So apparently I've had a heart attack somewhere along the way and didn't know it. So when I get back home from this trip, I go in for most likely stents. But if it's not from blocked arteries that have caused the damage, if it's something else, then I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what the next course, I don't know what's next. But you know what? I can't worry about it. It's God's hands. So friends, I look in this room, I see a lot of folks that I love dearly. We count you as dear friends. We lived a lot of life together in 3 years. We lived a lot of life in 3 years. I mean, and our son married a girl who's from here. So, you know, we're connected. We're joined at the hip, y'all, whether you like it or not. We're just us, okay? I know Pastor Mike is here now, and I am so honored to count him as a dear friend and brother. And when he said, would you share, I went, yeah. I said, now I'm not going to have anything with me but jeans. He said, I don't care. I said, good, because I don't care either. I'm on vacation, y'all. Sorry I don't have my tie with me, Brother Steve. Oh. But if I can leave you with one thought today, it's that God is good all the time. And he will constantly care for you. Some of you, while I was here, I walked through some stuff with you. But God was there when I couldn't be. And your dear pastor now is walking with you. But there's times that he can't be there. And God will be. There will be moments that you sit alone. And you ache. And you can't even put into words really to even God what you're feeling. But God understands the groanings of our heart. There were days that I've tried to pray and it didn't feel like I could. But in those moments, it felt like God was the closest. Because I couldn't even tell him what I was feeling. The frustration, the question. And it was like God would just say, hold on, I've got it. And I'd quit worrying. So let me encourage you to do the same. Just hand it to God. Let him hold you. Let him walk with you every step of the way. And it'll be a sweet, sweet journey. So sweet. I called Pastor yesterday and said, would you mind if I asked Bethany to sing at the close of the service? And he said, no, I wouldn't mind. So I asked Bethany to sing for the close of the service. You heard her when she was a little kid. She's a mama now to some incredible kids. And God has blessed Bethany with a tremendous gift. And I trust that as she sings, God speaks to you through her song. I love you. It's been a joy to stand in this pulpit today and to share the goodness of our God. Oh, I get Macy. You volunteer? Okay.
Well, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul.
Thank you. Awesome. Rachel, could you come sit here by Mark? I'm going to surprise you, hope not scare you. We've been preaching through James and really finished last Sunday, but I think there's a part in James that the church needs to follow in obedience this morning. It's in James chapter 5. That we just shared from a couple weeks ago when Pastor Fred and I anointed many people in the church. If there's anyone in the church who is sick, he should call on the elders of the church to pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I just think that God would, while you were speaking and with what you're getting ready to face when you get back, which may turn out to be nothing. Wouldn't that be incredible? Praise God. But it could turn out to be something. That he would be with you. And I'm going to ask Pastor Fred if he would to come. He was your associate here when you guys were pastoring here. And I'm going to ask the church family to come forward. And we would just like to pray and anoint you guys. You know we deeply love you. We thank you for your ministry. It's not, your ministry was not in a building. It was in building people up. And we pray that the Lord will raise you up through this. And the church family, if we could all just kind of gather in close, and then after that I'll have a special dismissal. Pastor Fred, I'll anoint Mark, and then if you would anoint Rachel on behalf of her mom and dad, because she's carrying not only the load of being here with Mark, but she has to go to the West Coast to check on her mom and dad who have been kind of frail. Precious Lord, this morning we count it a privilege to come to you. We are so blessed you come to us. Ministry is for a lifetime. Family of God is forever. Here in this room this morning are many people that came to know you as a result of a church. Might have been this church, might have been another church, might have been somebody who was faithful in a church but met them on a job site or a ballpark or at a restaurant and showed them Jesus, and our lives have been forever changed. Some people you bring into our lives who are change agents for you, such as the case with Mark and Rachel. They brought healing and hope, and really a miracle was performed as this facility came together in such a short period of time, and the church held together at a different address almost every Sunday. It was almost like, where are we going to be this week? But wherever it is, we'll be together, and you were with them. and you're with the church now. And Father, it's in faithfulness to your word that we anoint Brother Mark this morning with oil in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I just ask that you would touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I thank you for his life that's been yielded to you, for the ministry that he's offered, the cup of cool water that he's offered in your name, the times that he's anointed people and prayed for them and been there with them, talked with them on the phone and listened, carried their load. But he just spoke this morning the fact that he can't carry that load. You carry that load. And you're carrying them right now. And Lord, we just ask that your hand would be upon them. Might he know that you're with him today. Might they know that as they face the tomorrows that you're with them and you're leading and guiding the doctors, because you're the great physician. And you can work through doctors, you can work through medicine, you work through marvelous nurses and others. But sometimes you just do it because you speak it, and other times you do it when you call us home. Whatever you want done, that's what this man wants. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We thank you for his life and his ministry. And just touch him, Father, for the rest of his days as he sings his praise to you. May they be long, because only you know the number. But they all may be lived richly for you. And as Pastor Fred continues in our anointing this morning, just be in what's said and done for your honor and your glory, we pray.
Lord Jesus, as I lift Rachel to you now, Father, thank you, O God, for your presence in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful couple. We thank you right now for Rachel, for her faithfulness over the years as she stood by Mark's side, and as they've touched countless lives.
Yes, yes. Many of you know, last November, Susan and I were blessed to be able to go back to where we used to pastor, and they had a homecoming service, and we were invited to speak, and the pastor there is a good friend, and he said something to me. He said something to the church that day. He says, I know you all love Pastor B and Pastor Susan. And he says, I want you to love on them. We know you love us, and we're not worried about that. You just love on them. They're here today. And so the folks, it's not that he had to give them permission, but it kind of gave him permission to just love on us and our kids and grandkids. And so I kind of say the same thing to you. I'm secure enough in myself and who you are and how you love Susan and I. Shower these folks with love today. God will bless it. And another way that I'd like for us to shower them with love, they're on a trip in their car, and they're probably going to need some gas money along the way. So there's going to be some guys standing at the back holding offering plates. And if you'd like to give a love offering, you can do that. And put some in to help with their journey. We did take care of an honorarium for Pastor Mark this morning, but we just wanted to let you know that. If you're wanting to give electronically, you can follow the directions to give electronically, but when you scroll down for like tithes, missionary offerings, you'll see a line that says special on it. If you're doing that today and it's marked special, Monique will know that that'll go to Mark and Rachel, and the special ones we'll send to you later. You might catch them when you get back to Alabama. But thank you so much for coming. And thank you for your continuous ministry for the Lord. And folks, thank you for the way that you continue to share Jesus with others. Let's pray. Precious Lord, you've been so good to us today. You're always good to us. We heard a testimony this morning of great is your faithfulness. And no matter what we face, we don't face it alone. You're holding us up. Help us, Father, this morning as we just continue to share your love, not only with this precious couple, but with the people around us. And may everyone in the sound of my voice understand how much you love them and are wanting to walk with them as they go into their week. We asked all this in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you share his love.
Can I tell one funny thing before we go?
Yeah.
We hadn't been in this building very long. And remember, we had the two screens, had the two big screen TVs. And I was preaching, and all of a sudden I realized that I had lost the crowd. I mean, nobody was looking at me. Everybody was looking past at the screens. And I'm thinking, I don't know what's up there that's so interesting and so funny, but it had been one of those kind of Sundays where everything was just kind of, you know, it was just a funny day. You know, we'd all laughed, and it had just kind of been one of those Sundays. And I look up, and everybody's just looking past at the screens. And Clint Fisher, some of you remember Clint, was running the computer. And so I just all of a sudden turned and looked at the screens. And Clint had been taking his mouse and doodling, and he had drawn a little face with just about two or three hairs sticking up, and he had written Pastor Mark under it. And y'all were all watching him doodle on the screen rather than paying attention to what I was saying. And I'm still deeply offended. But I have shared that story several times. So I've always had this interesting relationship with sound and tech people. I mean, that's always unique. But I just wanted to share that funny memory.
Oh, that's one. We love you. We love you. And love you, Rachel.
Thank you.
We love you guys. God bless you as you go in his name.